Hi, this is Fabi Fab.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Every time I listen to SZA, I swear to God, I turn straight for like 5 minutes.
This is a girl.
I know, but I want to just put it down for like the right one. For the right one, you know?
Hello, hello, hello.
Kisho, kisho, kisho.
Hi, Babelito.
Hey, Fabichuela.
I like that one. How are you?
I'm good. I'm full.
Full?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I had a really good lunch.
Yeah.
In the company of really good people.
Oh my gosh, we have a very, very special guest today.
Pero very special.
The one and only Maite. From the famous podcast, Cabronas y Chingonas, is here in the studio.
The top podcast of Latinos Who Lunch from 2017.
Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Yes, that's right. We're both tops.
Whoa, everything's changing.
Hi, Maite.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good, now that I'm here with you guys.
Oh.
Gay.
Gays.
Gay, 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 gay.
the gay agenda. So, what did we have for lunch, everyone?
We had this little super mega Christian place in Boyle Heights. Support local. They've been there forever.
Hashtag support triggering businesses.
We had chilaquiles con chile pasado. That shit was good. Lo hacen la salsa en molcajete con chile pasado. It was... I love those chilaquiles. They're my favorite. What do you think?
That's why they took so long, because they were crushing in the molcajete.
They went to the fucking volcano to get that stone and shape it before they were actually there.
They were okay.
They were really good. Don't listen to Fabi. They're fucking good.
I think they were just fine.
No, that sauce has...
He's telling me how I feel about the chilaquiles. I'm telling you how I feel about them.
No, I'm telling you the truth about the chilaquiles. When I tell you these chilaquiles are nuanced and amazing, that's because they're nuanced and amazing.
Nuanced,
what do you think?
Basic, okay.
Go ahead. All I can think about is the chilaquiles.
Shout out to Yaremi in Mexico City, who took me to this chilaquiles place called Chilaquilers. That's a fucking great name. And the chilaquiles were pretty fucking killer.
I did like that the tortillas at this place we went to were really crispy.
Yeah.
I think that's so important, like to have the balance, you know? What I didn't like is the treatment of the presentation. Like the egg should have been on top of the chilaquiles.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I don't like when
according
they like...
According to Yelp, they should have been.
According to Rick Bayless, there should have been a sprig of cilantro on the top with a Oaxacan chapulín reduction with champiñones.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Anyways, so...
But there's so many... Well, we talked about it a little bit in the Sancha episode about the differences within chilaquiles.
Yes.
Right? Because
you can get saggy chilaquiles.
Saggy, baby.
You can get hard chilaquiles.
Okay.
Oh, my God. And these were, like, perfect consistency.
Let's talk about... I just want to talk about, personally, like, how your family makes chilaquiles. How does your mom make them?
My mom rarely makes chilaquiles. So I don't even remember. But my aunt, the chilaquiles
Martita?
Lady... No, Rosa.
Shout out to Rosa.
Hey, Rosa. I'm Seira. Hey, Seira. You know, say hi to Rosa because now she's in El Paso. Anyway, ella corta las tortillas así bien chiquititas, like strips.
Oh.
And then she fucking cooks them
She
in
lives
oil.
On the border, huh?
Yes.
I knew it.
And then she cooks them super crispy and then adds the sauce. So it's a little bit saggier than what we got. But what I like about chilaquiles is the process of sagginess.
Soggy.
Where you get...
Oh.
Okay. So you get this. You get the tortilla crispy, and by the time you're finishing the chilaquiles, they're saggy. That's a good chilaquile.
Yeah.
They're gangbangers.
They're sagging. You know what that means in jail, right?
But it's always with salsa roja.
Gay. Salsa roja.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about you?
Well, my mom is Guatemalan, so she's like, fuck y'all Mexicans. I'm doing my shit my way. And she starts with a little bit of, you know, corn oil. Porque coma sola.
No está sola.
And then she puts a little, she puts onions in it. And she, like, infuses the onion. So you know how you can cook the onion till it, like, blackens and then take it out? And then she puts fresh onion and so till it starts to caramelize a little bit. And then and then she puts tortillas cut up like chips in it, and she crisps them up really nice
with the onion,
with salt and onion, and then she makes a tomatillo salsa and then pours it on top and then puts the egg on top of that. And actually scrambles it and then puts the salsa on top. So it's like already. And then if you want to get fancy, you put some cheese in it.
Oof.
And then after that, there's this powdery Guatemalan cheese, and you put that on top of the salsa. So it's like layers of sodium and high blood pressure.
Delicious.
And your mom?
Mom be making some soggy ass chiladas. But I honestly, when I was growing up, I didn't like chile. So I would make her, like, do entomatadas instead. So I was a little bitch.
What is that?
It's like you just do tomato sauce instead.
Oh, without spicy.
Y entomatadas, yeah.
Now I'm like all about the spice. But she doesn't make food anymore.
And frijoladas, too. They're good.
Oh, what is that?
It's like you make a bean sauce.
Ooh.
So, yeah. The best in frijoladas I had, they were in Oaxaca. Because there they cook the frijoles with butter and salsa de aguacate. So that shit is gourmet. And it was like on the side of the road. It was so fucking... It was so authentic. So authentic.
Autentico.
Yes. It was so good. But yeah, and frijoladas are... They were not my favorite growing up, but now I crave them. So enough about wet tortillas. Remember that comedy special?
What?
I forgot her name. La Niña de Jesus or whatever. She's like, so how's your food? It's like... Una tortilla.
Oh, yeah.
Una salsa y frijoles. And how do you make that? Es una tortilla. Like, everything.
That's all Mexican food is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. We love it. It's so just.
Good. So, yeah. Maite, you're in LA. You've been here for a while now. Tell us about moving from Texas. Shout out to all the amazing podcasters in Texas.
Yes, I miss all of you guys. And I hate you at the same time.
So I have to say, Maite reached out to us, I believe, a while back, and I had a residency in Austin, Texas, and I just said, hey, I want to come to Dallas and visit y'all. And you're like, great, you can stay with me, stranger. And I was like, okay. So I went out there and recorded a couple episodes with you, which was so awesome, and we became instant friends.
Lovers. Yeah, friends.
Oh.
Okay, sis, a listener.
So, yeah, tell us a little bit about, Texas and your podcast and why you decided to start one.
I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And I don't know, I never really felt at place there. It was something that I'd recently been talking about, but that I recently realized since being away from home that I never really felt like comfortable there. Being myself there, I always kind of like did a triple stack of code switching over there. And, but now that I'm away from it, like, I also miss it. I don't know, but I've only been here like not even a year yet, and I'm already kind of like, I see Texas as a place that I want to visit, but not that I want to live.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah. How long have you been in LA?
I've been in LA, I think like 9 months.
Yeah.
Not long at all. And it's not like I necessarily see LA like, oh, this is my home. I love it here, even though I do really like it here. But I also don't see Texas as home anymore, which is really weird.
And why did you move to LA?
I moved to LA because according to every single source that I could look up, basically the only place that you can become a screenwriter for television is here. Like, it's just, this is the place to be if you want to get anywhere near the business. Man, that's what I want to do.
Are you actively working on some scripts?
I'm working on one right now. Yeah, honestly, I wish I had been actively working on it the last 9 months, but I wasn't.
Everybody has a process, so sometimes you can write one in 2 weeks, and sometimes it will take you 2 years. So
yeah, I'm totally working on one right now. Procrastinating, but I'm doing it.
Well, you also work. You also have a podcast. So I mean,
it's a lot. Yeah,
she is busy.
Can I pitch a script to you?
Yeah,
like an idea.
Let's do it.
Tremors 5.
A Tremors 5.
South of the border. Okay, so the tremors, you remember tremors?
No.
Like those snakes that burrow under the ground?
Oh, you lost me at snakes.
Oh. Well, they're like these creatures that like burrow under the ground. Reba wasn't one of them, you don't know that. You don't know? Reba McEntire? Okay, but this is a twist. Mm-hmm. They're working with all of the undocumented people in the United States, and the tremors, they're building tunnels under the wall to get us over here. And it's a scary movie for white people.
It's like not Get Out, but fuera.
Get in. Oh, my God. Tremor Cinco. Get in.
Oh, my God. I was just talking about how Get Out is just such a fantastic film.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, back to your podcast. Yes. So what is your podcast about and why did you start it?
My podcast is Cabronas y Chingonas. And me and my co-host, Fred Papita, who... like met on the internet like 8 years ago or something like that. We used to talk about queer film and sometimes queer TV, basically since I have had Twitter, like, and we've been talking about it ever since then. And you know, there's been very few sources for like queer things in general, queer media in the past, and Autostraddle was one that we used to visit frequently, and they put out this list of like best queer films or whatever with women in them, and we're like, it's missing so much. Like, it's missing this, missing that. Yeah. And we just, I don't know, we nos creemos mucho. Like, we thought we could do it better. And we're like, and she was really into podcasting. She was really into you guys in particular. And she showed me some of the podcasts. And I was like, you know what? I'm fucking down. This sounds really fun, actually. So we started a podcast. And now we just talk about representation, not just queer, but POC representation. We try to concentrate more on, like, Latino and, like, lesbians because it's what we are. So that's what we do.
I fell in love with you guys one time. You were, I think it was in some of the first episodes that you were describing a movie, and then I think it was Fry Papita who said, "Oh, there's a stray kiss," and I think both of you at the same time went like, "Ew," and I was like, "Yes!"
Like, oh my God, Pablito was freaking out. I was like, "This is the best show ever!"
Seriously,
so awesome.
Because this is the thing in media. In popular culture, we're always trying to reverse the formula. The problem with that is that when you reverse the formula, you end up reinforcing the stereotypes. You're like, oh, I'm just going to do a show with, I don't know, Latinx lawyers. But that's a reminder about the stereotypes at the same time. So they reinforce each other. When you don't push that and it falls naturally, that's when you get good results. So your show started to reverse the formula without even trying. That's just who you guys are. And that's in itself an important political statement, because it's not actively trying to undo something and then its turn ends up reinforcing the same old tropes and the same shit. You guys are just doing what you like, and the result is fucking amazing. This is why we talked about it and why we made it like our favorite podcast last year. And I mean, you guys are always one of the to-go podcasts that we listen to, even when you guys are fucking drunk. And sometimes I have no idea what the fuck is happening. But I'm living.
Oh my God, those drunk days. I mean, the first 20 episodes are 90% us drunk.
Yeah.
it's pretty great. But I feel like that was... Well, I have a lot of like stage fright and speaking frightness. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to put a mic in front of my face and I would freeze up. I've gotten better about it now. So I had to drink. And that's how I could talk in front of a mic. But yeah. And it was just... And also, obviously, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, shout out to your brother. We drank all his alcohol when we did our podcast. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. He's not allowed to drink anymore, so it's fine.
So what are some of the, like, the positive things or some of the feedback that you guys have gotten? Because I know you were just featuring Fears Me Too and some other people starting to pay attention to what you guys are doing.
Yeah, mostly what I've loved about it is people, like, which is not, like you said, it's not something that we set out to do, but people who are like, wow, like, take a break from white cis male voices. Like, this is where you got to be, because we're not any of those things. Mm-hmm. And like, I never saw us as that thing, as like some sort of break from it or whatever. Like, I saw us as just like us fangirling. That's what I thought of my podcast as at first. But people kind of look at us as like completely... just like this thing that's just completely separate from their day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so fucking cool. Like, I know, like, a couple of listeners are like lawyers or law students, or they're like all kinds of different, like a priest, you know what I mean? Like,
so really, many, a priest listens to you guys? Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So many different things. And I was just like, how do people, like, I thought that it was just going to be like a few other like lesbians that would be listening to it. Mm-hmm. But it's been just like such a variety of people, and that's been so nice.
But that's what, that's also what works with the formula, because you're doing it for you guys. You're not doing it for anybody. And what's awesome about it is that what you guys are doing for you, it's filling a void that a lot of people have been looking for a long time. So I think that's when you get those successful things, because when you try to brand and formulate, sometimes you end up with a product that looks like other things. But when you're just doing it for you and your friend, and some people happen to tag along, that's when you get the good results. And it shows. It shows in the episodes.
I'm glad. That makes me really happy.
So, since your podcast is about gay media and POC media, let's focus on the gay, though.
Sure.
What are some of your favorite gay movies, gay television shows? Maybe something that you're watching right now.
Good.
And this is going to come out in the future, so we're going to probably be talking about old shit by the time this comes out, but yeah, it's still good to talk about it.
Actually, I've been watching old shit. I started watching this Canadian show called Burden of Truth,
mm-hmm,
and I was so fucking pleasantly surprised. And I forget, like, it's Canada. Like, of course, it's going to be a little bit better. but because they had, like, two allegedly minor characters, like these two teenage girls, one white girl and one indigenous girl, and they're a couple, they're together, and I was like, oh, they're gonna have like probably like, there's only one season out, so I was like, they're probably gonna have like two or three scenes that I get to enjoy this whole season. They're in every single fucking episode.
Nice.
And they're like affectionate, they're touching each other. It's not like that in, you know, like we don't talk about it type of thing. Like, it's actually in every single episode. So I've been watching that a lot, and I've been really excited about it. But other things that I've been watching, actually, Dietland is only a little bit gay.
What is it?
Dietland?
Dietland.
What is that on?
It's on AMC.
Okay.
It's based on a book, which I read the book recently.
Uh-huh.
It's so good. It's all about this woman who is, she's fat and she doesn't want to be, and she's doing everything in her power to not be, and she has been her whole life. Relatable. And then she just finally like gets a bunch of people in her life who see her for who she is, which is like beautiful regardless, and like that's not a negative factor. It's a factor, but it's not a negative factor, mm-hmm, for once in her life. And that's kind of what the show is about. Plus it throws in a shitload of activism, like really hardcore feminism, like chop off the man's penis feminism.
Nice.
So I'm kind of enjoying the shit out of that show. Like, all good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pose is really good right now. I was surprised how much I liked it.
Yeah, I was a little worried because the acting is kind of boo-boo in the first episode. But then
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
It's a Ryan Murphy show?
Yeah, but then I couldn't believe that all the trans characters were trans actors. I'm like, whoa, this is fucking important. So
over 150 trans actors were cast.
Dude, you got to watch it.
I'm going to.
It's incredible. And then once, you know, the mother of the House of Abundance, once you see that she's based on Crystal LaBeija, which is like from, have you ever seen that movie, The Queen?
Mm-mm.
That's another gay film.
I need to, yeah.
She's actually talking just like her. So it sounds like it's like bad acting, but she's actually emulating Crystal LaBeija. So it totally makes sense. Because it's like this, weird thing that happens in the gay community. Like, you either sound like really hood, or you sound like a British person. You know what I mean? Hello, darling. How are you? You know, that's how they talk. So she's on like the British side. So she like pronounces, she's like over pronounces a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's
weird.
It's
all the drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fucking good though. Like I was really surprised. And one of my coworkers actually, he worked on the pilot. And he was telling me, because I was like, oh, I heard that, like, Ryan Murphy, like, took the back seat on this. Like, he really, like, just kind of created a space and let trans people work in it. And I think that's true.
Yeah.
But he's like, but he still directed the first episode.
And yeah.
I was like, okay.
But then I think, I mean, Janet Mock is one of the producers. So, and then she ended up directing, I think, the fifth episode or sixth episode.
Something like that. She's heavily involved, which is good.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
Hopefully they keep those white producers in check.
There's white people actually playing ping pong right outside of our studio right now. Let me go talk to them. One second.
Oh my god, this is gonna be good.
I'm gonna follow.
Is there another ping pong table somewhere?
It's like backwards. You're taking back the power. You know how like white women are calling the cops on everything? It's gonna be you.
That's their sport.
Belongs to them. Yeah, how could you use padding on your ping pong table?
Gosh, these kind of situations.
I feel like, I don't know, like it's Saturday. Like, where are you playing ping pong at a brown building?
Look at this mess up on.
I want to jump in it.
That's so funny. Okay, ready?
Okay. So I was thinking about Bring It On. Ready? Okay.
Okay, so pose and then.
And then, fuck, what else am I watching? I've been like slacking. You have no idea. Because I've been watching more movies lately. And not gay ones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You're taking a break?
I guess.
Are you
so.
Turning straight? Just tell the truth.
It blame SZA, don't blame me.
Hold my hand.
Hell, yeah, I'm touching Favi as we speak, but no.
Oh, you're so soft.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave the studio right now. You guys text me in 5 minutes when you're done.
No, we promised we wouldn't do anything unless Eva from De Colores Radio was in the same room with us.
Oh, yes. And you're wearing her bracelet.
We have a pact.
So. Yeah, we're a trouble.
Wow.
Trouble.
Oh, my God.
Babelito, how about you? I know you've been watching gay shit because you are the gayest. What's going on?
I haven't.
What?
Mm-mm.
What's going on?
I'm watching On My Block.
What's that?
On My Block is it's a TV show that takes place here. Is it South?
South Central LA.
Yeah, South Central LA. And it's just teenagers and dealing with everyday life. But it's fucking hilarious. I'm one episode away from finishing the La Vida de Luis Miguel. Bitch, we just got into it in a Guara Guara La Cuchara. But that shit is so good. So good.
How is it on Netflix, right? There's like 12 episodes. I saw it in here.
What? No, I typed it yesterday and it wasn't here. It's in Netflix in Mexico, not here.
Oh, really?
You have Mexico Netflix?
Maybe.
Me cago. Anyway.
You've been shitting yourself a lot lately, boy.
It's
like when it goes too far. Like, I'm glad you're shitting on a regular basis,
stop
but
stop talking
damn.
About my caca, man.
I just love talking about it. I'm just so happy you're pooping now.
I've
been watching a lot of movies with my boo, but nothing explicitly gay. I mean, I guess watching Maria Felix's movies in all her glory, it's super gay. Because we're always like, ooh, yes,
queen.
Yes.
Come through, eyebrows.
Doña Diabla, if you want to see Maria Felix in all her glory, with all her fucking amazing dresses, Doña Diabla is the one to watch. That's all it is. Oh, so good.
Let's see. So recently, I've been on planes a lot. So I've gotten to watch a lot of the gay shit that I missed last year and the year before. So like, Fantastic Woman, Frozen.
Very gay. Inappropriately gay.
What did I watch? Oh, Call Me By Your Name.
How was that? I heard it was really good.
There's one scene where it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
The rest of it's okay.
Yeah. I like the movie. I just have a problem with movies that like normalize pedophilia. And that movie does that. Because the kid is actually 17 and the guy he's fucking with is...
like 40.
25, 30. I mean, in real life, he's probably like 30-something.
In real life, they're like 23 and like 30 or something.
Yeah.
Like
and damn, white people are not aging right. So they smoke a lot in the movie. But I did like the scene where that actually made me cry with the dad talking to him, like because the dad just kind of knew what was going on, and so that was like really caught me off guard because that's not like the narrative we're used to is like the dad accepting the son for who he is. What they did in the movie to make it okay was to make the kid make the first moves. So it was like the kid wanting the older man. Kind of
that
thing.
Still doesn't make it okay.
I know, but
they also did the Italy thing. So in Italy, I guess they have different age restrictions.
Yeah,
But it's also like...
And here and too, in the States here, like age of consent is like 16 in some states. But
only if you're within a certain year age of range. Each other.
Oh.
But that kind of story setting it in Italy, it's just like this platonic thing of philosopher and tuo alumno. It's like a very classical thing that somehow back in the day was accepted, like in the classical time. So
yeah,
that was deliberate, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's totally. Yeah. What else have I seen? Did I say A Fantastic Woman?
Yes.
Oh, that was really great.
I saw Wrinkle in Time. I wasn't impressed.
Most people weren't. I haven't even seen it yet.
That movie was awful.
I was like, what is that
this, okay, about? This is a movie that would have benefited from some gay people working on it.
True.
The makeup on those women, they should have hired Raven. They should have hired some drag queens to like do the makeup.
Raven, yeah. Like Simone?
Simone Ye. No, Raven, the drag queen, who does RuPaul's makeup now.
That's cool. 90s girl talking right here.
I was like, let me tell you about Raven's Home, which I've been watching lately.
Oh, that's some gay shit.
It is, yes. That's why I was like...
All I want to say is I've never seen Oprah with crusty, dusty makeup on until this movie. Like,
yeah,
that shit was
she did
bad.
Not look good.
You can't do Oprah like that.
That's Disney money, right? Like, come on.
That is Disney.
They could have hired some drag queens to fuck them up. It would have looked amazing. I mean, Mindy Kaling, I think, looked good, but everybody else didn't. Anyway, and I don't understand what the fuck the movie is. I'm like, what? That bitch just turned into a plant. I'm done with this.
Not a plant. A fucking lechuga, man.
A lechuga.
She turned into a lechuga. And people...
Anyway. Eat your greens. Let's see. What else? I'm watching Pose. I'm watching My House on Viceland, which is like a docuseries about the ball scene now. Mm-hmm. And I just watch a lot of drag queen shit. So Drag Race Thailand.
La Más Draga, Mexico.
La Más Draga. I didn't finish watching The Switch from Chile because the episodes were way too long and it was like 4 episodes a week.
And didn't you say also they were like racist as fuck?
Yeah, but I mean, so is RuPaul's Drag Race, but we still watch that.
That's true.
So, yeah, that's what I've been consuming. Mm. How about you? Oh, you already said it, right?
Yeah.
You said nothing.
So, okay, I have my favorite gay film of all time.
Oh.
So I want to know what your one is.
Let's talk about it. Which one's, which one's yours, though? I want to know. I'm curious.
It's called Undertow.
Yeah. I have heard of it.
Wait, tell me about
it.
It's a movie that takes place in Peru, in a tiny little village. So this gay couple spent some time there. And it's just a lot of things about being gay in a small town. And it all leads to a funeral scene that will fucking destroy you. It's so such a beautiful scene because it's not like... over the top. It's not your typical gay. It's just happens to be a love story, but it all leads to that funeral scene. So I won't say anything more because I want everybody to watch it. But
it's
I always
Spanish?
Have issue. It's yes, yeah, in Spanish. It's what's, Peruana.
It's Peruvian.
Uh huh.
It's in Spanish and it's called Undertow.
Undertow. I think in Spanish it's Contracorriente.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Good. That's my favorite gay film of all time.
Interesting.
What
mine
about
is
yours?
Mine is a fucking rom-com. It's a British film called Imagine Me and You.
Oh, I haven't seen it, but I've seen it. Yeah.
It has Lena Headey in it, who is Cersei, aka killer of like everybody and incest queen on Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
She's in it, and so is Piper Perabo. And it's actually a really basic ass concept where it's like two girls, like this girl just gets married, and then she like has love at first sight moment with Lena Headey's character, and then they deal with the consequences of it and shit like that. But I don't know, it was the first movie that I ever saw that was like nice to queer people. Mm-hmm. Or like it wasn't like somebody's hiding a secret and like and then they're betraying people like on purpose because they want to, you know what I mean? I don't feel like they made them seem like villains. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I fucking love the shit out of that movie. And I remember I was like 15 or 16 when I saw this movie. Like, I saw it in Mexico. Like, I saw it you know, they used to go to those little, not blockbusters, but like the Chaffa blockbusters. And like,
Chaffa blockbusters. <Yeah. laughs> Tell me more about Chaffa blockbusters, please.
And like, all I saw was like, it was like a bride and a groom, and then this other girl, and then the two girls were holding hands behind his back. And I was just like, they can do that? And like I fucking like secretly rented the movie and like secretly watched the movie, and it was like this whole ordeal.
Video Centro, that's what they would call.
It was not even Video Central. Like, it was just like a standalone one. Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Okay, but it was great. And so, yeah, that was just the first time that I'd ever seen anything that was canon gay. Like, it wasn't just an undertone. It wasn't just like a one-off kiss, but it was the first time that I ever saw anything like that. And it had a happy ending. I'd never seen that.
The first gay movie I saw, before I ask you, it was not really gay. It was a college movie called Threesome.
I've seen that, yeah.
And it was all about the threesome scene. And I was a teenager and I was like, what is this?
Doesn't it fucking just shake you to your core?
Sadly enough, I was like, I need to go to college. Like, I wanted that experience. So that's when I started thinking about college, because of that fucking scene.
This is the gay agenda.
It is.
It's to make you agenda. Go to college.
It worked. What's your favorite gay?
Whoa, my favorite gay movie? Oh, that's a great question. There's so many movies, and every one that I'm thinking about is so fucking problematic. But let's see. What's my favorite gay movie? I think The Lion King. I watched that movie over and over again. There's so many gay characters in that movie.
Ah, Timba y el otro, ¿no?
Timon and Pumbaa, oh. Classic. Yes. Like Chicken Hawk and Scar. Twink. Scar is totally gay in that movie.
They used to make every villain very feminine on purpose. But, you know.
Ursula.
We're talking about Lion King right now.
But she's talking about villains.
Let's get into it. Every villain on every Disney movie is a gay character.
Ursula from Little Mermaid.
Did you know that she was based on Divine, the makeup and everything?
No,
the
drag queen. Makes sense.
Jafar in Aladdin.
Who turns out to be, like, even the voice actor, I think he's, like, allegedly a pedophile. So that's not even...
Perfect casting.
Yeah.
And then Scar in The Lion King. Let's see. What other... Just say a Disney movie. Cruella de Vil. She was trans. Let's see.
In Beauty and the Beast. I swear to God, homeboy...
Oh, Gaston.
Yeah, total
Gaston
top.
Gaston is gay.
Yeah.
Gay.
Captain Hook. That queen. Damn, I stand for her, though. Holy shit. She is fierce.
Oh, my God, yeah. Pocahontas, the fucking poodle.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I don't remember that.
Yeah. That raccoon, too. He gave me a little something.
Honestly, though, if you watch, Miko. Like, the first 10 minutes of Pocahontas, where it's just her and, like, she's rejecting homeboy, and then she's, like, super cool with that girl, I always, like, in my head, I was like, I think she just likes the girl. Pero tiene que venir fucking John Smith.
Mm-mm.
Ruin my life.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these movies, but let's see. Now, for real, my favorite queer film, that's hard to say. I want to say The Birdcage, just because it was like the first time I've seen it, but
I fucking love that movie.
It's such a, you know, it's like Tu Wong Fu, The Birdcage, like all those old gay movies, they're like so problematic because they like...
Yeah, they haven't aged well at all.
No, they like, they paint gay people in a certain way, but it was the first time that I'm like, oh, this is like, people are celebrating it and seeing it in a positive way, and yeah. I think that was like a positive experience for
and
me.
Wasn't there a fucked up Latino character there too? Like, ay Dios mío.
He was Guatemalan.
He was Guatemalan.
Yes. I was like, relatable.
Oh, when she wants to... I don't remember. I just remember when she goes, ay Dios. Like, that's what I remember.
Yeah, he has a Cuban character. Accent and he's Guatemalan. Like, I was like, this is not believable.
Oh my God. Was there a moment in film... in your film watching history, where what was? Do you remember that moment where you're like, "Oh fuck, I'm gay"? Yeah,
I had two, and I don't know which one came first because I just kind of went through a lot of my younger life being like, "Oh shit, am I?" And then I would completely push it out of my mind. But there was two times. But the main one that I like to talk about is during this movie called what is that John Tucker movie called?
John Tucker Must Die.
John Tucker Must Die. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It's this like. Typical fucking like high this high school mm-hmm. bullshit movie, but there's a scene where a homegirl who used to be on One Tree Hill, I forgot her name, but she kisses Brittany Snow, and like she's teaching her how to kiss like really good or whatever, and that was her excuse because they always fucking did that shit like with women just to have them kiss or whatever. They'd make up some excuse for it, and that was the excuse in that movie. But that was the first time that I saw it, and like I remember like I was home alone when I watched that movie, and I replayed it 10 times. Because I had never felt like that excitement before in my fucking life. And I replayed it like 10 times. And then I don't remember like what happened after that. Because I didn't think I was gay after that. I just was really into that fucking scene. Yeah. I didn't realize I was gay until like some other shit happened. And then, yeah, that, so that was one of the moments. The other moment was on this movie called 13 with...
Oh, that movie's crazy.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy. And with Rachel Everwood, something, whatever, one of those white girls. Like, mm-hmm. She also kisses the other girl in that movie, and I was just like obsessed.
You're like, rewind,
yes,
rewind.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it was like the male gaze that, I don't know, maybe that's why I didn't realize it, because I was like, this is meant for men, like that's what those scenes are for. So
when you watch a movie, you're like, oh, this is not meant for men, like this is not with the male gaze. Can you tell?
Yeah, well, only recently, because it was always for the male gaze up until recently. Like Burden of Truth, the show that I talked about earlier, like mm-hmm. they were sweet to each other, you know what I mean? It wasn't about sex, it was them being in love, and that's, there's a distinct difference, and that made me obsessed with that shit immediately.
Is there a moment in film that you're like, shit, I'm fucked?
What do you mean? That's like super gay?
And that you're like, oh, maybe that's what I am.
I mean, I already knew. Like, I remember I used to have dreams about being best friends with Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I just want to be his friend and hang out with him all day. And in in retrospect, I'm like, oh, I see what was happening there. But I remember I used to love that. You know what? It's so funny. I was just thinking about this the other day. There's this movie called Man of the House that's really problematic. It's Chevy Chase is Jonathan Taylor Thomas's like stepdad or like his... So Jonathan Taylor Thomas lives like in Seattle or something with his mom, who's played by Farrah Fawcett, who's a fucking babe, even in her older days. And his mother is a found object sculptor. So she just like walks around all day on the beach mm-hmm. and like finds objects and then makes these like big like assemblage, like collages on the walls and stuff. And that was the first time like I was exposed to an artist like that. So it like really affected me. I liked the movie to watch those scenes, like to see the mom, even though it was just like driftwood and shells and trash and shit. Like that got my wheels turning. The other part of the movie,
like Beetlejuice.
The other part of the movie is Farrah Fawcett's love interest is Chevy Chase, and he's like trying to win over the love of Jonathan Taylor Thomas's character, and he wants to be Jonathan Taylor Thomas wants to be an Indian guide. What? So like to be part of this like Boy Scouts troop called, and it's like Indian, like Native American themed.
Love. Yeah.
So like Chevy Chase becomes like a counselor. And
just that easily.
And just to like go camping with him, and then hilarity ensues in the woods, and they say a lot of fucked up things and trivialize. But I remember one part of the movie where they're practicing, all these white people are practicing a rain dance to make it rain.
No.
And it's like, everybody dance now, and they do the rain dance. And it starts raining. It's so stupid. It's so bad. But that was... I wasn't getting feelings like that, but I just remember being... I remember having dreams about being, like, in that movie. And I'm like, that's so fucking weird. But I don't know. There's different movies that have, like, characters that you're like, oh, my God. Like, Brendan Fraser and, like, George of the Jungle. You're like, interesting. I really love this movie. Or like there's that scene, I remember that scene in Dude, Where's My Car? Do you remember that scene where Ashton Kutcher makes out with the other guy?
I distinctly recall that,
and I was like, holy shit. So you know, things like that,
there's little things like in there. Yeah, I have a question.
Did you say your movie?
I don't think I have one.
Oh, okay.
Didn't you say your movie?
Did I say
it? Oh, no, you didn't say, you said your movie, but you didn't when say you were the young. Movie of when you first got a glimpse of something that made you
It wasn't a movie, but it was like music. Like there was this singer, Beto Cuevas from La Ley, and they had a song called +1800 Placer Sexual or some shit like that. Damn. And it was about a party where like everybody's doing anything with everybody, and I remember hearing the lyrics and just be like, oh, I want to go to that party. But I don't remember in film. No, I don't remember. I mean, I think it was that stupid movie, Threesome, that I was like, ooh, I want to go to college. Pero that's it. Like, not actually a movie. But I wanted to ask you, because now you're so busy, right? You have your full-time job. You don't have to talk about your full-time job. You're also trying to write. What kind of responsibility now you feel that you're getting more attention with the podcast of always watching stuff? Because that's kind of, it's in a way I feel like, I mean, you can tell me, but do you feel like it's a job now as opposed to just like you having fun watching stuff?
Sometimes it's like, I wish I could just, like, I'm still into it, right? Like, I still want to watch this gay representation. I want to watch these things. Like, I still want to, but having to, like, actively seek out a variety of things, because I don't want to do the same thing every time. I don't want it to be white characters every time, or whatever it is. That's where I kind of have trouble sometimes. And that's when it starts to feel like a job, because I'm just like, I'm not particularly interested in watching this thing right now. I'm eventually going to watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm pushing it forward on my list because
you guys talk about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We cover at least like one, usually it's like one movie and one show in each episode, and that's 3 weeks out of the month. So yeah, it is a lot. But I don't know, so it does feel like a job sometimes, and then editing kind of feels like a job sometimes. But at the same time, like, when I'm actually recording, like, that hour, I'm like, I'm having fun, like, because I can finally, like, let out these feelings and all this other shit and talk about it. So it's like yes and no, you know what I mean? Like, it does, but it doesn't. But I don't know, I don't want to stop, because, like, I think we're in such a, we've had a surge of representation of all sorts, and it's such an interesting thing to me to see where some people are failing and where some people are going really right, and what elements affect that. Like, oh, is it because they had a gay writer? Is it because they put more money into it? Like, what is it that's making it good? What's making it bad? Like, even when they're bad, like, I'm okay with it. Like, all this drama with Vida and people, like, having mixed feelings about it, I love seeing why they think those things, and I love making my own conclusion of why they're feeling that way or why it turned out that way. Like, so it's been interesting for me as a writer, because I one day want to write a show that's probably going to be this heavily, you know, critiqued, and I want to know why and what elements.
Is there something still missing that you're looking for in these films? Is there something that you still want to see?
I mean, I'm a TV person more than anything. Like, okay, so Fred Pepita loves the films.
Like, is it a show where you're like, this is what I've been waiting all my life? Or you're like, yes, but I'm still missing this element of it.
I think there are several shows that are covering little things that I'm liking, and Vida actually covered a lot of what I wanted to see. And The Bold Type is doing a lot of what I wanted to see. And this movie called Circumstance. Actually, it was actually fun, but this movie called Circumstances, a close place in my heart, because it covered a lot of what I have gone through. So I think bits and pieces of all this media, like, there hasn't been one thing that encompassed everything, but I've seen them in little bits of everything, which has been really nice. But I want to make it all.
I'll put it all together.
Yeah.
Are you working on that? Like, on that script?
Kind of. I'm finally letting myself do something that is about more personal things, because I've been trying to, like, go, like, oh wow, like, this shit is wonderful, or this shit is political, and this shit's making a statement, and I'm bringing myself back down to earth and being like, just do something normal. So I am kind of working on that.
All right, well, it's about time to take a break. So we're gonna do that, and then we're gonna come back with a listener question and recommendations.
Let's do it.
Hey everyone, Pavelito here with a special announcement. You guys know that there's always the smart thing to do and the not so smart thing to do. You know, if you're looking to hire somebody, there are job sites that send you to tons of the wrong resumes to sort through, and that's not smart. There are job sites also that make you wait for the right candidates to apply to your job. Nope, not smart either. And you know what's smart? Is going to ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. You heard it right. ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. And that's the perfect site to go and hire the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Guess what, Mimi? It finds them for you. Its powerful machine technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. A ver, ¿qué más quieren, cabrones? And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address. Pongan atención. ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. That's right. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. ZipRecruiter.com/Latinos. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Ooh, this is Favi from the future. And I'm here to remind you about the original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn. That's right. Lindo Michoacán loves Latinos Who Lunch, and they love our listeners. If you go to the original Lindo Michoacán in Las Vegas on East Desert Inn, you get 25% off. What? Yep, that's right. 25% off of your meal. So get whatever you want. You know, I usually get chilaquiles, chile relleno. I'm really into their tortas. I call them tortugas because they're so fucking huge. They're amazing. And their chips and salsa are out of this world. Amazing. Great. Wonderful. Go live your Michoacan fantasy at Lindo Michoacan on East Desert Inn. Tell them Latinos Who Lunch sent you. Okay. Bye. Oh, wait. Save water. Drink margaritas. Lindo Michoacán. And we're back.
When I listen to you guys, I always do that at the same time as Abelito.
So I was recently in Reno. It was in April. I had a big show in Reno, and I actually based it on three films with queer women in it. So I wanted to create this safe space. And I was just thinking about Babelitos and I experiences in the last year. And the safest I ever felt was like at Wellesley College, which is an all-girls school. Or sorry, I should say a women's college. And then we were at We All Grow Latina Summit. When I was asked to do a show like to honor the LGBT community in Reno, I thought, okay, I'm going to make it about women, trans women, queer women, lesbian women. So I looked at different movies. And of course, the first one that I thought about was Sister Act. I think that movie is like really queer. And it's because of what Babelito and I have talked about is like nuns kind of being this like, I mean, they're women, but they're also like genderless. Like they're supposed to be asexual, but they're not. And so they tell this really weird line that I like really attracted to, because they're like, I don't know, because I don't know, they're very relatable to me. But so Sister Act was based in Reno, and that was actually based on the movie that Babelito showed me called Entre Tinieblas, which is an Almodovar movie that's really gay. And it's about like these lesbian nuns in Spain that take a rock star kind of hostage and end up like all having these dark habits. Like one's a drug dealer, one writes like dirty novels, one is like an animal black market trafficker and stuff.
Shit.
And
it's so good.
It's so funny. So I recreated scenes from those movies in this gallery. And then while I was there, I found out about another movie that I want to tell you about. It's like The Lesbian Brokeback Mountain. Have you heard of this movie called Desert Hearts?
I have heard of it.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, my God. This movie. When I saw it, I thought of you. The sex scene in the movie is so incredible. It's like...
It's a 90s movie, right? Or
80s? Yeah, it's like from the 80s or... It's like late 80s. And the sex scene that happened in the movie actually happened in the building that I was making this installation in.
Did you have a ghost moment?
I was like anyway, all that to say, I'm just building it up because we have a listener question, and it's titled Cast from the Past from our friend Wilote. He says, Hola, Fabi and Babelito. This week, I came across Fabi's new project that is influenced by the film Sister Act. The movie gave me so much joy growing up. It was influential and reminded me that joy is something to be shared and that sometimes it is necessary to break the rules. As creative people, I think we all carry with us the inspirations shown in different forms of media, whether it's film, music, comics, etc. My question for you is, what film would you have loved to be cast in? Muchas gracias, Willote. What movie would you would like to be in? Or would have liked to have been cast in?
There is a movie that has become my favorite movie.
Yeah.
It's called Nazarín. It's by Luis Buñuel. And he plays this missionary that travels around Mexico and all of these people follow him. That is the perfect character that explains all the fucked up Latinx and Latin American ideas we have behind Catholicism. I wanted to be Nazarene. I will love that character. Not gay or super fucking gay. Yes, Nazarene. Definitely.
Ooh.
I don't have a movie, but...
TV show.
Yeah, for me, I guess One Day at a Time.
Ooh.
Be really fun.
Yes.
Just because I did, like... Especially when I was younger, like, I was a lot like Elena, very, like, outspoken, very, like, anything my mom would say, I'd be like, that's a fucking hypocritical ass thing to say. And so, yeah, that would be really cool. I'd be playing it out, but with more confidence and then openly gay. That'd be really cool.
What movie would I like to be in? Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to edit me thinking out because I have no fucking idea.
Okay, I have another question.
What?
What actor will play the role of your life? Like, in a biopic of Fabi Fab, who will play?
The fat guy that plays every fat Mexican guy. The guy that played Diego Rivera, that he would play me.
Oh, Molina?
Yeah. Everybody's always like, you look like that guy. And I'm like, okay. So, like, all right, Jonah Hill or Molina would play me in a movie.
You'd be played by Machete.
Huh?
Machete.
Oh, yeah. I want to be Diego in the movie Frida. That's who I want to be.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's funny.
What would you be, Valido?
Who would play me? Fuck. I don't know. Help me with this one. I have no idea. I mean, first of all, I never memorize names of actors. But I don't know.
Who would play you in a movie? You know what? I think this would be a good question for our listeners.
Okay.
Who do you think Babelito and I would be played in a movie? Like, who would play us in a movie?
What do you think?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
You're so unique looking.
Ay, güey, no mames. And you?
Nobody looks like me.
Scarlett Johansson.
Hell no. She would definitely try it.
Oh my god.
I love that people fucking read her for trying to... Did you hear about that?
Yes.
She was trying to play a trans... not a trans, but a drag king in a movie.
Character.
Is it a trans man? Mm-hmm. Oh my god.
She jumped out.
Yeah, because people were dragging her on the internet because she played that...
Her excuse was actually like bullshit because she's like, okay, you guys let white men do it, so why can't I do it?
That's what she said?
That was her whole last excuse.
Oh my god, Hollywood is such
That's what white feminism looks like,
ass
girl.
Bubble, man.
Yeah.
I was like, so please calm down. That was years ago, and we're not allowing that shit no more. And then she got dragged to like saying that she was gonna try to play the Thai kids that got saved from the cave. They're like, she's gonna try to play all of them in that movie. And we're like, oh no.
Oh, you know who I wanna be?
I hate Hollywood.
I wanna be the princess in Black Panther.
Cherie,
that's who I want to be.
Cherie's everything.
That's who I want to be in a movie. If I was a black teenage woman.
I want Michael B. Jordan to play me.
She's my favorite.
Michael B. Jordan to play.
Oh, M'Baku.
M'Baku, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right, recommendation time.
I'm going to recommend that movie.
What?
Contracorriente, Undertow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it's a good example. For a while, Netflix was cool, so they had all these Latin American movies. So I remember I spent like 2 months just watching Peruvian movies because Peruvian film, this was like years ago. Peruvian films are amazing. There's some really just like the topics they play, they're very different from other Latin American movies. And then watching those, I came across Undertow. And I like that the acting, the story, how everything leads to that scene without having to be your typical, oh, this is Latin America, we're so surrealist and bullshit. It's real and it's beautiful. And it's about it's a gay love story that centers on that, you know, and mm-hmm. just life happens to happen around that gay story. So I think it's a good movie. So again, Undertow, I'll put it in the links on the website.
I'm going to recommend this movie that I'm forcing all my white coworkers to watch.
Yes.
It's from the 70s. It's called The Spook Who Sat by the Door. Mm-hmm. And it's basically about, I can't remember if it's the FBI or the CIA, but one of those two organizations is forced to bring in people of color into their organization. Like, they're like, you can't just be all white people anymore. And so they basically come up with a plan to, like, make it seem like they really tried to bring in black people, but they just weren't good enough. And one person stands out, and he's just amazing, and, like, he gets through. But then they just give him desk duty and shit. After training, they're just like, we're just going to stick him on a desk, and he's just going to be, like, a token. Mm-hmm. And then, so he does his time, he gets out, and he goes back home to, you know, like, low-income area or whatever, and he goes and he teaches everybody what he learns. And then it turns into this old militia, and they stand up against this government that's oppressing them. And it's like, it's basically a Republican's worst nightmare. So I want everybody to see it.
Yeah. What's the name of it again?
The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Okay.
Oh, awesome. So I don't understand what it is. I think it's going to be a short film that I saw the preview for the other day, and it was beautiful. It's called Kiki and the Misfits. Have you heard about this?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so I think what happened is Jill Soloway felt away because Jeffrey Tambor, was that his name? Jeffrey Tambor?
Tambor, yeah.
He is a fucking asshole.
Yes.
And again, a cishet white man playing a trans character. I was really rooting for Transparent. I kind of like that show.
I like the first season.
I love the first season.
Because I'm like, I hate everybody in this fucking show. And I like that about mm-hmm. it. Like, yeah, white people suck, you know? So
that's how I felt about Girls. God, I always hate Girls. Watching it.
I had to stop.
I didn't finish. But like, after the second season, I'm like, the only reason why I'm watching this is because I fucking hate these characters.
I was just watching it for Adam Driver. That's the only reason I was watching that fucking show. I actually like the newscasters. What's her name? The one that was in Get Out, Williams.
That character.
She's a good actor. I lost track of what I was saying. What were they talking about?
Kiki and the Misfits.
Oh, yeah. So I saw the preview on YouTube. So check mm-hmm. out the preview for Kiki and the Misfits. Maybe by the time this comes out.
It will be out.
Yes. It's
like a short film.
Yeah. And no, it's going to be a what series?
I really hope it's a series. It's kind of unclear.
Yeah, working on the budget.
By the budget. But the cast is all Latinx queers.
Nice.
And Kiki is a trans character. And the movie or the series starts with her getting in trouble for using the women's restroom at school because she ate some tacos that didn't agree with her. Relatable. Right, Babelito? So... So
I feel so much better.
But just watching the preview, like, I was in tears. Like, I can't believe this is actually going to be a TV show. So it's like all queer high school kids in LA just like fucking shit up. It's so awesome.
Nice.
So check that out.
Speaking of, what happened to Brujos? Do you ever watch that series?
Mm-mm. Oh, I don't know. Wasn't
there a second season that came
out? I remember they were casting it a little while ago because I'm friends with the creator on Facebook, but I don't know what happened to it. But check out Brujos. That's a really good show.
Yes, because it's queer, it's academic, it's everything, and it takes place in Chicago.
Oh, but all of that shit that I said about Transparent is because Jill Soloway is actually putting money into... Kiki and the Misfits.
Oh, okay.
Which is awesome. So, you know what? Like, shout out to white people. Actually, Ryan Murphy, too, you know, for
even
Pose.
For creating that space.
Like, creating the space and then stepping back and letting people of color and the queer people that the show is representing, like, actually represent. And, you know, like, as much shit as people talk about Transparent, like, Jill Soloway identifies as queer, and that show is hella white. And it's, like, it's her reality. Same with Lena Dunham. Like, Lena Dunham really doesn't know better. She's in a fucking bubble. Like, her parents...
And it shows.
Her parents are contemporary artists, like, who... I mean, can you imagine being raised in New York and, like, in with two, like...
In, like, a fancy-ass apartment. Oh, speaking of bubble within a bubble within a bubble.
Yeah, of course her show's not going to have any people of color in it. She doesn't know any.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
It doesn't justify her, but you're absolutely
It doesn't
right.
justify it, yeah. but it's like, what can we... Duh.
Yeah.
Like, and just other set of problems with her, like,
yeah.
it's bad.
And just because you have Donald Glover on as your boyfriend, that's like when people are like, well, I have a black girlfriend, so I can't be racist. I'm like, fuck you. Get out of here.
Get the fuck out.
All right.
Get out.
Get in. Coming to theaters 2020.
Full circle.
Reba McEntire. Alfredo Molina. In a movie, you... I don't know.
You never
expect... The Purge, get in.
What's the opposite of The Purge? The Gorge, get in.
The Binge.
Oh, my God. This Cinco de Mayo. Fuck. Tremors Cinco, The Binge. Starring Sarah McLachlan. Reba McEntire.
In the arms of
Scarlett Johansson as Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Jeffrey Tambor as Janet Mock. No, oh my God.
Stop.
I can't wait for that Tremors to come out. Hollywood, let me know. Maite and I are ready to write the screenplay.
You're going
to
become the new Simpsons, just predicting everything.
I know, right? Oh my gosh. That is so tragic. All right. Maite, oh my gosh.
Muchísimas gracias.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on our show. You're amazing.
Thank you for having me. I mean, like, you guys are still my faves.
Oh,
yeah. You guys still win.
So, where can people find you? Give us all your deets.
CYC Podcast is pretty much on everything at cybcpodcast.com if you need other links. And my personal stuff is at MYTE Panda, Mike the Panda, because I'm lame. And yeah, I follow a lot of people back.
So do I. So I'll put all the links of your personal stuff in Cabronas y Chingonas. If you haven't listened to Cabronas y Chingonas, put your shit together, because it's fucking amazing. One of our faves, and we cannot recommend it enough.
And as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. If you have a question, email us, asklwlpod@gmail.com. Please go to our website, donate, help Latinos Who Lunch keep going. But if you can't do that, at least leave us a fucking review, people. 5 stars.
5 estrellas nada más.
Because the more reviews we have,
the more represented we are.
And
representation is very important.
All right. Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega. Our intern is Carla Lagunas. Our marketing assistant is Hector Aguilar. Music by the band Brownout. I'm Fabio Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.